things happen to people who listen to radio.
Once we understand the bug, we will defeat it.
Are you ready for
the only good bug is a dead bug.
Shoot a nuke down a bug hole, you got a lot of dead bugs. All right?
Some say that a live and let live policy is preferable to war with the bugs.
I say kill them all.
Yeah.
Put it on and leave it on.
Welcome to Bug Radio, boys and girls. This week, we baselessly declare victory in the Best Podcast of All Time award. As Joe Biden shuffles his Zimmer frame ever closer to the White House, we ask whether anyone will ever tell the truth ever again. It's lockdown 2.0, unless you're a squat party fiend in Bristol. And as David Icke finally gets the boot from Twitter, Big Nige stakes his claim as the conspiracy king. We're up on iTunes, Spotify, and Threads Radio. That's threadsradio.com. And you can follow us on @BugRadio2020 on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a click, give us a 5-star review. To recoil in horror, I'm joined as always by our Southern strategy specialist, Mr. Kieran Monks Kaufman. How's the plague treating you?
It's melancholy. It's the last days before the new lockdown. So we're experiencing these kind of farewell tours to outdoor locations and other people.
That's right.
I suppose we may look back on these days as a golden era before the harsh winter months of hibernation. But I shouldn't grumble. Some people are having more pressing concerns, such as the bug, our nemesis and subject of this podcast, has shown the temerity to take a shot at us in the form of you.
That's right. I had to have a COVID test on Monday because I had a fever over the weekend. But yeah, the bug tried to take a shot at the bug radio. Behave. Came back negative. It's a pretty weird business. It's like a wedding marquee in an industrial estate. And they're always like that. And you have to sanitize your hand 3 times on the way in. And then you have to like show your QR code to a 15-year-old behind layers of plastic sheeting. And then you get like a swab and you have to touch your tonsils for 10 seconds without touching your tongue, which is biologically impossible. And then you have to shove the whole thing up your nose. It's enough to make you think the whole pandemic is just a really high-budget Dom Jolly sketch. But anyway, yeah, the bug didn't manage this time, so, you know.
Somebody with less wherewithal than yourself might not have managed that, and maybe that's why we so often hear reports of tests that don't work.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been that I got a false negative, like, because, I felt my tongue touch it really, really lightly, like a couple of times, because you have to do it in a few goes. You can't just hold a thing on your tonsils for 10 whole seconds without your tongue. It's really I've never realized how difficult it is to control your tongue.
Did the system work smoothly? Because we mentioned last week that there's a theory going around that test centers are Potemkin villages, that they're not real and nobody ever working there as an actor.
Well, I was the only one there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was the only one there. There were like 15 people. Like all sort of huddle around. They all seemed to have jobs to do, but they didn't seem to be actually doing anything while I was there. So yeah, I mean, they could possibly, I mean, either that or they are expecting a rush. I'd rather they got it wrong that way than the other way, if you see what I mean.
Right, and a relief. Because confession time might have participated in a function that infringed some areas of whatever the protocols are. And then in the subsequent days, I was a bit, you know, every tickle in the throat. Is this my poetic justice? And I may yet get my comeuppance for that. We will see. Moving on. Have we lost the self-described greatest president in history?
We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
We're talking on a Wednesday afternoon. So we're giving up some hostages to fortune before the outcome is established. And who knows, maybe the outcome will never be properly established.
I'm not believing anything until Fabrizio Romano or David Ornstein has confirmed. Well, I'm not a fucking mug. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think the 2000 election has been satisfactorily resolved yet.
So
there's no reason to get ahead of ourselves. But the state of play is that Biden is favored and Trump has now broken the glass marked nefarious ruses. And is trying to get everybody's votes thrown into an incinerator, appealing to various higher authorities. You can tell it's not going down well with him and his fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an anticlimax, really. I was expecting to wake up to kind of news footage of like Marines abseiling into the White House, and he was going to be there like patrolling the upstairs area with an AR-15, like Tony Montana, tweeting all kinds of crazy stuff. But he was just sort of warbling.
Well, I suppose it's still early days. What seems like an anticlimax on Wednesday, when we're talking now, could be a nationwide inferno on Friday.
That is true.
There's a lot of dubious information flying around. Armada of lawyers being wheeled into position. But just I want to pick out a couple of notable features. Firstly, shout out to Jalen Cavill, an activist and one of the, I believe, leading figures in the Iowa Black Lives Matter movement, who stood for sheriff in Polk County, Iowa, on a platform of abolishing the sheriff's office and legalizing most things, because there would be no law enforcement. And I think he hasn't become sheriff, but his ideas will live on. Longstanding friend of the show, Ted Neters, who I believe was a sort of unofficial aide. You can be proud of your efforts there.
There is a bit of swings and roundabouts, though. Lauren Boebert, she's an unashamed QAnon backer, has actually won a seat in the House of Representatives now. So we've got a real, like, certified loony making laws now.
The bar keeps on getting lower. I was struck by these quite touching efforts to enfranchise infected voters. So I was looking at polling stations in St. Louis that were set up to accommodate people with the bug. And so, you know, these sort of green and gray citizens would sort of troop in there in vehicles and then deal with sort of hazard suit wearing bureaucrats who would just sort of use a pair of tongs to extract their ballot from a car and then sort of fumigate it and spray it with things and then probably just drop the ballot in a bin somewhere. But I mean, it looked like a good effort, that every effort was being made to help everybody to vote. Although there's been a lot less heartening stories about hundreds of thousands of ballots going missing and people refusing to deliver ballots. So I'm sure the scandals and instances of malpractice will be mounting up. But the state of play now, it looks like the boss has been defenestrated, albeit in very murky circumstances.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, purely from a democratic point of view, this is a fucking disaster. Like, obviously, he's won the thing by the skin of his teeth. But we've got to say, if there wasn't a pandemic, Trump would have won just by a landslide. Why do people follow that Nate Silver bloke? I've never understood it. Well, you know, the glowworm mating season was unusually early this year. So if we weigh this piece of red Leicester and add that in and divide it by pi, it's difficult to see anything other than a Biden landslide. I mean, it's just the guys, maybe he can like present university challenge or something and we can keep him away from our hopes and dreams.
No, I'm pleased about that. Yeah, because I think a lot of the data people have been shown up, which I'm always pleased about, because I've had a sort of longstanding campaign against statistification and dehumanization through reducing everybody to data points. I think it ruins football. It ruins elections. It ruins most areas of journalism. There's a lot of mystification that goes on here and attempts to render pseudoscience valuable by just sort of chucking all sorts of shit into a bin, rattling it around, and then and then sort of whatever comes out, you say, well, yeah, you know, let's call this God.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that's been exposed. I mean, the obvious fatal flaw with these devices, these algorithms, is that they can't anticipate anything. So your system, it works fine so long as nothing you didn't anticipate happens. And that happens all the time these days. So useless, and all the data Nates, I hope will suffer some loss of prestige.
Well, they never do, do they? I mean, I'm sure he'll find a way to claw his way back to a pay packet for 2024 somehow.
Put it on and leave it on.
So we are, lest we forget, bug-oriented on this program.
That's right.
And we're also a Britain-based bug program. Hmm. Inescapably, our circumstances are being changed. We're going back in the brig. Is Finn Gruel from now on in cell block H? There's just been a vote, according to Laura Kernsberg, with the government winning approval for lockdown 2.0 that comes into force today. So henceforth, there will be no mingling indoors or outdoors except for meeting one other person in a park, which the last time this was a rule led to lots of puerile suggestions that Bug Radio is above, frankly.
No holidays. No non-essential shops, no leisure and entertainment venues, no bars, pubs or restaurants except for delivery or takeaway, no hairdressers, no beauty salons, and no hotels or hostels unless you're traveling for work. So, yeah, if you're doing capitalism, you can't spread the bug. Same as always, work from home if you can. So pretty much exactly the same as the last lockdown, except schools and universities are staying open to make sure that we can't come out of the lockdown until next summer.
Yeah, so it's a sad state of affairs, and we want to look at, well, I mean, on the one hand, you can highlight flaws in the strategy that have led us to this point, but the whole of Europe, it seems like, and even Germany, which we normally look to for, you know, a considered and reasonable approach, seems to be getting swamped. So, you know, something that we've often pondered about whether you really can suppress the bug over a long enough timeline and whether or not it's just a case of having sort of sharp staccato peaks or just a sort of longer, a lower peak over a longer period. So, I mean, all over Europe, the bug is in control at this point. I think it's fair to argue that Britain's handled it as badly as anyone. The app that people were supposed to use to keep themselves safe in terms of knowing when and where to avoid has been disastrous from day one. I mean, all the going back to all the tests on the Isle of Wight where people with the wrong type of phones weren't able to use it, and billions were sunk into this venture with shoddy operating systems and what have you. And then it's just emerged that the app was also failing to send warnings due to the wrong sensitivity settings. So people were regularly bumping into people with the bug without the app having any idea. So you could argue that the app in this case and the government that produced it is objectively pro-bug.
Yeah, this is Dido Harding's work. She was given £12 billion by the government to head up this test and trace system. It's worth pointing out, in 2010 and 2011, TalkTalk, which she ran at the time, twice won the This Is Money website's Wooden Spoon Award for worst customer service, voted for by customers, 4 million of whom had their personal data stolen by two 15-year-old computer geeks. And Devi Sridhar, I don't know how you pronounce that. She's always on the telly. She basically gives me all of my bug opinions. Suggested if we'd spent the $12 billion we gave to Baroness Harding on just paying people to stay at home, we'd be in a much better place by now. But it just goes to show what you can get if you go to the right parties, I suppose.
Sage was apparently advising us to introduce a circuit breaker for a couple of weeks a month ago, which was then seized upon by Sir Keir. In a rare instance of dissension from the government line. It's pretty well understood by now that if you act earlier, you get out of it earlier. So that's another case where the approach appears to have failed us. But I wonder, I mean, we're going to get on to defiance of the new rules. Even now, we're being swamped with the bug that people need to see it being really bad before they can really be expected to cooperate. So, I mean, had they introduced this at a time when the numbers weren't so bad and people couldn't really see so much of an argument for doing so, there wouldn't have been the buy-in and it wouldn't have been effective.
I mean, they're also a large part of the reason why it's not purely ill will or selfishness, the reasons why people aren't complying. Stephen Reicher was on the television a couple of days ago, and he said a big problem is that people can't afford to self-isolate because it's quite an expensive thing to do if it's stopping you from working. We should probably point out, actually, that there is some additional financial support. The furlough scheme and business loans have been extended. The self-employment income support scheme has been doubled from 40 to 80% for the month of November. Alistair Darling, you might remember, he was the Chancellor under Gordon Brown, went on the Tortoise podcast recently to say, you know, you've got to support people because...
Are you not going to do the accent?
I can't really do his accent.
All right, fair enough, fair enough.
But he's like, you know, you've got to support people because it's like a war. You know, you can't just say, we can't afford a new battleship. You've got to just win the war and then worry about the bean counting and stuff later. But he's wrong, sadly. It's not a war. They can just throw people under the bus and ask their newspaper editing friends to denounce them as feckless scroungers and layabouts. They've been doing it for years.
We were familiar with these wearying analogies from a long time ago that a foreign friend once memorably put it, that a lot of the problem with our sort of national psyche in Britain is that a lot of us have convinced ourselves that we personally fought in World War II. But as to how our government would be managing something like that, we did used to send our Tommies over the top with, you know, holes in their boots and like a fucking pea shooter and some bits of ham to fight whoever we were playing against that week. So we very much could decide to tighten our belts in the middle of, you know, whatever apocalypse you could name.
So, I mean, how are you feeling about this lockdown? Does this feel worse than the first one or the same or what?
Yeah, this one is worse. I think there's going to be less of the novelty that enabled people to brace themselves and be stoical. There will be less of a feeling that we've all got to pull together and try and support one another, and more of oh fuck, not more of this fucking fuckery.
Bollocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the difficulty of the less favorable outdoor conditions and the not knowing the absence of light at the end of the tunnel. And especially given that normally the deep midwinter is punctuated by this big festival, Hanukkah. Oh no, some people celebrate Christmas too, I guess. And so people like to get together for that and slag off how corporate it's become. And if that's going to be, you know, either not happening or not happening properly, and it's probably something that especially people who have really wanted to see relatives that they haven't been able to for a long time, if that scene is not viable, then that's going to sort of remove something that one of the few things people felt like they had to look forward to. So, you know, that's going to be shit as well. I was listening to a report on how mental health is holding up during this crisis. And in one sense, people are very resilient if they've got support networks and they've got things to do. But the more that this drags on and dominates people's mental space, the more debilitating it becomes.
Now, more than ever, we need...
Radio. Commence blathering.
There's been a whole hoo-ha about how bad the messaging's been.
We think it's important to stay sane. Radio.
Baby, let's go! When the fuck is this going to end?
Just trying to find something properly weird. We need to find whatever it takes to get through this rotten fucking plague. If we are going to get out of this, government ministers such as Jeremy Hunt say it's going to be through just regular whole population testing. So everyone in Britain is tested at least once a month, and we're up to something like capacity for 5 million tests a day. So it's not far off, and it's being rolled out for the city of Liverpool, which has been having a rubbish time.
Yeah, so everyone living or working in the city of Liverpool will be offered tests, whether or not they have symptoms. with follow-up tests every 2 weeks or so. So finally, 8 months after WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus implored us all to test, some bright spark in Downing Street has had a brainwave, which they will no doubt claim as their own. I've got somebody called Free Spirit here on the internet. It says, well, that's scamcock for you. Just announced they're sending troops into Liverpool to test everyone. Now, which MP do we think has shares in the companies providing test kits? We certainly know that Mac Hancock is the sole owner of SCCL, the supply chain for the NHS. Corruption. So thanks for that. Good luck with the Pulitzer. And Scotty, hashtag remember the fifth, says, people of Liverpool, do not get tested. This is the next step of the plan, the mass testing of healthy people to install a perma-lockdown and destroy even more livelihoods through huge numbers of false positives. So that's what it's about, turns out, perma-lockdown. Government ministers just genuinely like staying at home, eating Doritos and never seeing anyone. And they just want everyone else to see what all the fuss is about, apparently.
I mean, that gets on to another issue with the new lockdown, which is going to be increased non-compliance. I think the rave community has had it. It's reached the end of its tether. People who know committed rave fiends know that it's a lifestyle that you can't just turn on and off. And if people are still allowed to practice religions, then rave aficionados probably feel like they should be able to practice their religion too. Clap your hands to their face. I'm just looking at some of the recent headlines related to this. Police hand out 9-10 grand fines to illegal parties in Sheffield. So that's just over the weekend.
What, did they all have a whip round, or did the organiser of the party have to pay the fine?
Well, as far as I can tell, the fine has been issued, and we'll watch this space. I mean, if there are any people who want to apply Gandhi's philosophy that you've got a duty not to comply with unjust laws, if that's what they feel it is, you know, we'd be happy to have them on the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 9 massive razzes in Sheffield. A Bristol venue also issued with fines for hosting up to 700 people. So you can't say you just sort of got your numbers mixed up there. You can't say I didn't realize I had a few extra ones. If it's 700, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And also illegal rave owner and organizer in Walsall slapped with fines. And yeah, just going back to that one in Bristol, it looks amazing. I mean, so you can see why this is happening, and clearly it's happening quite a lot. I wonder, is it worth it for people to put these on? I mean, can they get the sort of the psychic release and also enough to make it worth their while? I mean, can they make enough from these events to make it worth their while to have to cough up 10 grand from presumably quite bored police who haven't got that much to do other than break up the odd public event?
I don't know. I mean, I think 700 is... the possibility of getting rumbled is just a bit too high.
I suppose they're practicing the dance like no one's watching, like they say.
Yeah, but people are watching. I mean, also, I mean, you were talking earlier about a kind of speakeasy culture where you could have, you know, smoky dives with like, you know, 20 or 30 sort of VIPs. Like someone's got a basement in their house or something. You know, you could have people sort of turning up throughout the day in a sort of surreptitious way. And, you know, people could just sort of take their chances. And, you know, people who went there, they would know that, you know, it was at your own risk sort of thing. You could start to see stuff like that. People could charge entry to those sorts of things, and they could potentially be sufficiently invisible where you could maybe make a business of it, you know, without too much of a risk of getting done. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there will be some more subtle operators, and probably the more egregious cases are just the tip of the iceberg that shows young people especially are fed up and aren't going to comply with this. And especially when you consider that for all this lockdown, we're going to allow mass gatherings via schools and universities. So we're not really that serious about trying to stop the spread. So these are going to continue, I imagine.
Put it on and leave it on. There's no such thing as a coronavirus.
The devastating result is that huge masses of heavy electricity start randomly falling out of wires and crashing onto anything below.
Well, that's very sensible, albeit hallucinatory advice.
It's a pack of lies
that flew around or whatever.
So what would you say all this here, that's fake news?
You're preying on losers.
This virus does not listen to stupidity.
You don't buy into all that one, do you? What you're doing there is you're drinking an advert.
It's a building of a new fascism run by the mega corporations and the mega rich.
You're not going to get away with this.
Oh, yeah.
It's not cool to be weird.
Okay, so back on our favourite hobby horse of conspiracies relating to the bug, and pleased to inform you that our hero Piers Corbyn has released a new manifesto. I'll just read out some of the new points for what he's calling our movement, featuring stop new normal, stand up and save our rights. So some of these bullet points are end social distancing. So presumably people have got to be standing as near to other people as possible under this guideline, including Piers Corbyn. end all vaccinations, end masks, take down 5G, disband special police thugs. Not quite sure about that, but yeah, broadly on.
I mean, it sounds good in principle.
Yeah, broadly on board. And then close behavioral insights team, brackets, PSYOP. A lot food for thought from Piers Corbyn.
He could do with a proofreader, couldn't he?
Well, is the behavioral insights team a PSYOP? I suppose by definition, they're trying to fuck with people's psychology, but in a useful way. It's like the nudge unit, isn't it? It's like you put a picture of a fly in a urinal. Is that a PSYOP?
Well, potentially, but you know, maybe you can have benign PSYOPs.
I don't think he believes in those.
No, he doesn't. Especially not when there's a flu d'etat underway.
And so some of them are quite entertaining. Some of them are more sinister. Tommy Robinson, the former leader of the EDL and very dangerous and sinister thug, was arrested at the weekend.
Yeah, he got bundled off, didn't he?
Yeah, leading a protest, which was ostensibly to do with a terror attack in France, but attracted a platoon of unmasked anti-vaxxers as well. And I believe, isn't it the case that Farage is also...
Yeah, Nigel Farage is to relaunch his Brexit party. It was Brexit Party Limited, as an anti-lockdown party called Reform UK. So he submitted the name change to the Electoral Commission. Mr. Farage and party chairman Richard Tice said they would adopt an anti-lockdown platform to give a political voice to opponents of COVID-19 restrictions. Political commentator, in inverted commas, Patrick Christie's took to talk radio the other day to claim that there's an MSM conspiracy not to report Farage's latest manoeuvre because it's a threat to the establishment. There's quite a few other big stories in the news this week that seem to have escaped his attention, but there we are. It could be that he sort of, you know, he saw the way the wind was blowing with Trump, you know, and that's his mate. So if Trump loses, he's kind of isolated, isn't he? His show on LBC was axed after he compared Black Lives Matter to the Taliban. So now he's kind of sat around, not really a great deal to do. He sort of had a go at pointing at boats in Dover, but now there's, you know, a few other people who have sort of taken up that mantle. And, you know, there's only so many photos of six blokes getting off a boat that you can really stick on social media with the word invasion and national humiliation. So this is maybe his big comeback.
I mean, the first thing that struck me was that, did you say this is the Reform Party? Is that what it's called?
It's called the Reform Party. It's called Reform UK.
It's a bit corn laws, isn't it? It's a bit sort of staid. Yeah. It's not very exciting. I mean, you're not going to get the blood pumping with Reform. And also,
well, I don't know, he's quite good at getting blood pumping on both sides of the fence.
Also, he's sort of setting himself up in opposition to Lawrence Fox's Reclaim Party, which would probably occupy similar turf against PC liberals.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of jockeying for position, isn't there? It'd be interesting to see who wins out.
I suppose Big Nige has got a track record of turning sort of dead-end enterprises into impact. I mean, so UKIP was going nowhere under Kilroy, and then suddenly it sort of has defined the political agenda and all of our lives via the referendum and the unpleasant narratives on immigration. So, I mean, he is a guy who's got a proven record of making an impact. You could say the most influential politician of our generation. So that's something.
He's never even been elected to parliament.
Right. More of the power behind the throne. But so that is worrying, that the more the relatively, well, I say relatively, but, you know, obviously it's still bad, but the sometimes comical conspiracists movement with its preoccupation with phone masks has taken this nasty turn to be seen with Robinson, Farage, and people of that nature.
Well, that's all, folks. Congratulations on making it this far. If you'd like to threaten us, you can do so concisely on Twitter, that's @BugRadio2020, or if you'd like to go into some detail about the various pieces of torture equipment you'd like to use or the music you'd like playing in the background, you can email us on bugradio2020@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. As always, wash your hands and piss off.